Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all you do, and He will direct your paths. That's a call to faith. Faith is better. On Friday, the Vancouver Sun had a brief article on reporting on what a researcher from UBC, in conjunction with a researcher from the University of California, did some work on faith, and they correlated faith with various items, and they found that people who had the ability to mentalize, it was kind of a new word for me, mentalize, were found it easier to have faith than those that were challenged in their mentalizing capacity. Now, mentalizing means the ability to imagine what someone else is thinking or feeling. So it's kind of the empathy factor. And they said, typically, women are better at mentalizing than men, and hence, women find it a little easier to have faith than others. So, men, I have a remedial session for you down the hall after the service to help close this gap. But it also is a reminder to women, don't be too hard on your husband. If he's having a little, if he's a little slower on the uptake in faith, just be patient. It, be patient. And it, they have the capacity, but it just takes a little longer. The other correlation in that article was reported that the higher a person rates on the autism scale, which is a relationship issue, challenged relationally, the less likely you are to have faith. And so that was an interesting fact. Well, anytime I can find something on faith, I'm interested, because I see myself as an advocate of faith. I love the challenge of living by faith. I love encouraging other people to have faith, to come to faith, to live their faith, to share their faith. And so we're talking about faith today. When we met as a pastoral staff, Wayne called Kevin and me together to plan the Together This Better series. And he took this the great risk of saying that Kevin and I could pick whichever better topic we wanted. And he told us what he was going to do, so, and, you know, my mind went straight to my favorite sermonic idea, that is to talk about faith. And this, the text which we have read, trust in the Lord with all your heart. That's a call to faith. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all you do, and He will direct your path. That's faith. Well, before I launch into the main body of my talk today, I want to talk a little bit about what does it mean to have faith, the definition of faith. Hebrews chapter 11 gives us a definition of faith, and probably one of the best verses that kind of summarizes it in one sentence. Hebrews 11:1 starts out with a question, what is faith? That's right in the text. Hebrews 11:1. What is faith? And then the answer. It is the confidence, assurance that what we hope for is going to happen. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. Well, you might say, huh? Can you repeat that again? Well, if I would put that in plain English, I would say that faith is a way of thinking. Thinking positively, expectantly, reverently about God, about myself, about life, and about my circumstances. I believe that's faith. It's a way of thinking. It's an attitude. And so my words here today are a plea for all of us to kind of reach toward the goal of having a faith approach to life. That our default mental position, our default resting thought patterns are in faith. That we'll be thinking positively, expectantly, reverently about God, about the Bible, about the challenges that we face. That's faith. You know, I don't know how you would rate yourself. I mean, well, let me ask the question, right? Where, how are you doing in the faith factor? Are you growing in faith? Are you excited about your faith? Are you making progress? Are you stalled? Are you sliding back? Where are you on the faith continuum? Well, wherever you are on the faith continuum, God wants to touch you and help you to move forward. And I am making a plea for you today to just choose faith. Choose faith, whatever situation you find yourself in. And even if you ignore everything I say by way of explanation here, you can still be helped by being here. If you grab the text, at least grab the text. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all you do, and He will direct your paths. Faith is better. Well, I want to give you four reasons why it's a good thing to choose faith. And the first reason is, choosing faith is always the best option. It's always the best option. Now, in preparing for this sermon, the first thing I needed to do was come up with a title. And I say, faith is better was fine, but I was thinking maybe I should include the better than what? Answer the question. Faith is better than, you know, how would you fill that blank? Faith is better than, and I engaged my wife, Diane, in a little brainstorming session around the breakfast table, and we came up with a list of words, and we thought, well, how about faith is better than despair? Faith is better than non-faith. Here, I'll have to give you a little sidebar here. Might go in the category of too much information, but that was my idea, to come up with faith is better than non-faith, and Diane thought, well, that really is quite meaningless, and she totally dissed it. And I'm sure she's thinking I'm very naughty for keeping it on the list after she dissed it so badly. I learned in seminary that you must never use the pulpit to win an argument. And so I hope this doesn't go in that category in your mind. I kind of liked it. Faith is better than despair, than non-faith, than unbelief. If you would draw a continuum of faith, you have faith in one, and I think at the other end, you would have utter unbelief. I think that would be the contrast. And so we're on that continuum. Faith is better than atheism, agnosticism, cynicism, skepticism, pessimism, pessimism, fear, fatigue, discouragement. You name it. What would you put there? Faith is better than. Yes. And maybe some of you are saying, what about doubt? I didn't mention that. Now that, I would not use faith as a contrast with doubt. Because in my mind, there's always an element of doubt in faith. And so it's not a question of whether you're a person of doubt or faith. No, it's a question of, are you choosing faith in the midst of all the doubt? You don't let doubt prevail. You make sure that faith overrides your doubt. There was quite a reaction to the letters of Mother Teresa that were published posthumously, where she openly confessed how she was tormented by spiritual doubts. Now, some people saw this as a sign that she was not as much of a saint as she had pretended to be. In my mind, it validated her sainthood. It elevated her sainthood. Anytime we have the integrity to confess that we do have doubts, but then we move to faith in the midst of that doubt, and we don't let the doubt rule us or derail us, that's a sign of sainthood, where you choose faith, and she did. She did not allow her doubts to end her mission. She kept on with her mission, and that's the right choice. In this regard, I I fondly remember the story of Billy Graham, and I think I've told it before, but it's such a good story. It fits here where Billy Graham, when he started his work as an evangelist, it was an era of higher criticism of the Bible, and there was a lot of liberalism was very popular. And some of his friends and graduates, his peers, they departed from the faith of accepting the Bible as God's word. And he struggled with it. He had his doubts. And he tells how he took the Bible, went to the woods by himself, laid the Bible on a tree stump, and in faith chose before God and declared to God that he would accept the Bible as God's authoritative word and he would preach it as such. He chose faith. And of course, the record speaks for itself. What a blessing he has been. How many of his lives have been changed and marriages rescued and transformed and families changed through that that commitment, that faith commitment. Yes, faith is a choice. I was reminded of the line in the novel, The Life of Pi, which is on, I think in some of the high schools use it now as a novel. We never had such interesting novels when I was in school, but they've probably upped the list. And The Life of Pi, someone pressed it into my hand a couple of years ago, and I read it, and it really was a fascinating read. The Life of Pi by Jan Martel. And the line that I remember from that, and actually I had Diane go check it to make sure, and so it's on the edition that we have in our house on page 28. He's talking about the different religions, and he's talking that he can't, that the one that he can relate to the least is the agnostic, because the agnostic's life is ruled by doubt. And this is what he says about doubt. To choose doubt as a philosophy of life is akin to choosing immobility as a means of transportation. That's a great line. Doubt immobilizes us, and that's not a good means of transportation. See, so choose faith. I'm appealing for you, pleading for you to choose faith, because faith is always the best option. And there's two points to be made here. Number one, it always is an option. No one can take that option away from you. No matter where you are, how difficult, how dark, how hopeless your situation is, you can choose faith. Faith is a way of thinking positively, expectantly, reverently about God, about life, and about yourself, and about your circumstances. It is always an option. And I'm inviting us here to make a commitment that we will, none of us will do it perfectly, but let's lean toward that. It is an option, and it is the best option. You know, when we list all the words there, how you could end that, faith is better than. No matter what word you put in there, despair, discouragement, fatigue, fear, it's a no-brainer that faith is the better option, the best option, and may God help us just to embrace that enthusiastically. Faith is the best option. Well, that's one of the reasons for faith, because it's the best option there is. Choosing faith, number two, is a way to spiritual growth and maturity. Now, here I'm making an assumption. I'm assuming that if you call yourself a follower of Jesus, if you say you're a Christian, a person of faith, I'm assuming that it's your desire to become a better Christian, to have stronger faith. In fact, I think it goes with being a follower of when you make a commitment to follow Jesus, then the Holy Spirit comes to live within us, and the Spirit is always motivating us to do better. It's calling us to do better. Now, some people, when they're in periods of darkness or go through a dry period, they will generally be discontented with that. And I think it's the Holy Spirit that brings us that discontent, because it's kind of part of the genetic structure of a Christ follower to want to reach out and do better. And when we do that, it is profoundly rewarding. And not that there's accurate measurement, but there is a peace and contentment by leaning in that direction. So how do we get more faith is the question. Well, the Bible answers that, and again, I go to that iconic faith section in Hebrews, where Hebrews 11, verse 6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. So there's no other way to spiritual growth and pleasing God than having faith. Then in the opening verses of chapter 12, it says, and let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, on whom our faith depends from start to finish. There is the key to spiritual growth, spiritual progress. To prevent us from stagnation and stalling, keep your eyes on Jesus, on whom our faith depends from start to finish. Well, how do we keep our eyes on Jesus? Well, we read the stories of the Bible. You know, people have often animosity toward Christians. They don't like Christians. But I have yet to find a person who, having studied the life of Jesus, who says they hate Jesus. Because there's something so beautiful about the life of Jesus, the love, the forgiveness, the grace that he extends. You read the Bible stories of Jesus, and it warms our heart and say, you know, every normal thinking person, I would say, I want to be like that. And that's what it means to be a follower of Jesus. I don't know whether I should say this or not, but I'm reading through the Old Testament. I must say that some of the Old Testament does not inspire a lot of faith. It inspires a lot of doubt. But as an Anabaptist, here's how you have to read the Old Testament. You take the New Testament overlay, and then you read everything in the Old Testament through the New Testament. And when you do that, then you can find your way through it without losing your faith. Because you realize it's all building up to a great climax. And the Old Testament is proving how much we need Jesus. How much we need to be saved. How awful the human race is. How we are on a path of self-destruction. But God, into that, we needed a Savior. So that's really what the Old Testament does. We come to the New Testament and say, praise God, he did provide that Savior for us. So we our faith grows when we keep our eyes on Jesus. You know, to grow spiritually, it's important for us to have connected with Jesus in a real way. And in our tradition, we emphasize that initial commitment. Now, in some traditions, you have more of a communal commitment, and that has its validity, and we emphasize the personal commitment, since you're here, and I believe the sinner's prayer is a helpful way of doing that, where you have that moment in life where you say, Lord Jesus, I need you, thank you for dying for my sins on the cross, I receive you into my life, and commit to following you as my Savior and Lord, to kind of lock in that beginning of walking with God. We're going to have communion here today. You know, if you've never really sealed that moment of walking with Jesus and saying yes to Jesus, you could do that as you take the communion, saying, with this bread, which represents your body, with the cup, represents your life, I'm receiving you and I want to follow you. And then you can mark your journey with Jesus as you keep following him. God wants us to live for him. When we make that conscious choice, then it opens up this great possibility, and it will honor God for you to keep growing in him, growing in faith, and will give you a profound sense of fulfillment. Well, let me move to reason number three, why you should choose faith. Because choosing faith brings out the best in us. Hebrews 11 has a hall of fame for the people of faith. It says, by faith these people, verse 33, by faith these people overthrew kingdoms, ruled with justice, and received what God had promised them. And so in this chapter, you have this long list of names, Abram, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, Rahab, Gideon, Barak, Samuel, David, and others. And faith brought out the best in every one of these people. They had great achievements because of their faith. They faced great obstacles, but they had faith. Faith helped them to endure. faith energized them. Wandering around in a tourist place, knick-knack shop, on vacation recently, you know, you see all these slogans, and some of them are very hokey, and some of them are... this one caught... I'm sure I'd seen it before, but when I saw it, it kind of gripped me in a new way, and it says this: "This is not home sweet home. Deal with it." You see, that's life, and we need faith. We need faith in those moments of difficulty. Very few aspects of life are perfect. And so in faith, we learn to deal with the places that this world is not home sweet home. This country is not home sweet home. Our job isn't home sweet home. And so in faith, we can cope with that. It energizes us. It stimulates our creativity. One of the verses of the Bible that really captures the connection between faith and energy is Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. "But they that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint." There's a connection. They that wait upon... If you have faith, you're going to have energy. My good buddy, Herb Neufeld, and I had coffee briefly this week, and he told me that he's preaching on this text today. He's preaching at the Culloden Church on Isaiah 40, verse 31. And then he told me this little anecdote, which would probably go in the category of dark humor for pastors. But anyway, it's story goes, a preacher is preaching on this text with his black preacher is preaching to his interactive audience. And black preacher says, "God wants his church to walk. Amen, brother, let her walk," was the response. "God wants his church to run. Amen, brother, let her run. God wants his church to fly. It's going to cost money to fly." The somewhat subdued response said, "Amen, brother, let her walk." Well, last Sunday, you all voted to fly, for us to fly. And thank you for that. And if you weren't here last Sunday, you know, it's not too late. The whole goal is for us to be faithful disciples and supporting the ministry Sunday by Sunday, week by week. And may God bless you in that. But it energizes. Faith energizes. You know, how come the Los Angeles Kings are doing so well in the playoffs? 10-0 away from home? I mean, what is Daryl Sutter dishing out there in the dressing room? Don Cherry yesterday in his comments said, he said the New Jersey Devils are playing with fear. They're afraid. You know, and when you're afraid, faith is better than fear. The LA Kings, they've got confidence, they've got faith, and it's making them better. Faith makes us, brings out the best in us. No matter what challenge, you know, if you're talking about challenge, what challenge are you facing in your life right now? It's whatever it is. What better way to face it than to face it with faith? Because faith makes it better. You know, sometimes the challenge of faith comes in small things and sometimes in larger things. And as the dangerous thing about preaching is you think about a lot of things and you kind of have to ask yourself the question, how am I doing here? And as I was talking about a faith approach, I was realizing there's one area of life I've been very negative about lately, and I was convicted about it. And I hope you won't be, you know, uncomfortable when I tell you this little personal journey, this personal failure. But we live in a townhouse complex in White Rock, and the Strata, you know, had all these consultants come in, and then they convinced the Strata to engage in this retrofitting just to avoid the leaky condo syndrome. So we didn't have a leaky condo, and so the engineers couldn't sell, you know, pay us, take our money to fix it, but so they are going to take our money to make sure we never will have a leaky condo syndrome, right? For 20 years, it hasn't been a leaky condo. Why would it start now, right? So anyway, they voted. So it's underway. The retrofit, which costs us tens of thousands of dollars, is underway. And I've been more than negative about that feeling so trapped and so helpless. But when I realized about it, I asked, well, does this sermon apply to that, my attitude? And I concluded somewhat reluctantly, it probably does. And I need to change. I haven't told my wife this. So she's hearing this for the first time. She's very happy because I've annoyed her more than a few times in my rants about it. But I'm making myself accountable here. And so this week I changed my mind. I say, I'm going to be positive. The check's written. I mean, we've paid for it. So why worry about it? No. So I'm going to have. And yesterday we had a little test. My neighbor came over, and him and I have often commiserated about how badly we're treated by this strata decision. So he comes over. You know, I never said a thing about negative, but I said something positive about this renovation. And I really felt good about myself. It's in the little things. It's in the big things. In marriage. You know, sometimes it's a little, we need to have faith. Thinking positively, expectantly, reverently about God and about our situation and applying it. We're always our best. Faith brings out the best in us as parents. Parenting is not for the faint of heart. It's tough. You know, if you're a parent, you're going to hear some tough things. And as children get older, sometimes in their teenage years, they're rebellious and they say some mean things and it hurts. But you dare not crumple in a heap over it. No, just choose faith and say, God has given this child a strong spirit. They're going to do great in the world. They'll find their way. They won't be downtrodden. They'll fight for themselves. That's good. That's what we want our children to do. So choose faith. Choose faith and trust them to God. Expect the best. God will be with you. Yes, faith is better. It brings out the best in us. Then the fourth reason for faith is choosing faith helps us to discern God's Spirit, God's guidance by His Spirit. Faith helps us to discern God's guidance. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. I read about a survey done among church people, and this was quite a broad survey. There were thousands of people involved here, of a Christian survey, and the question was asked, what one topic would you want to receive more instruction on? The number one response was, how can I discern God's will? How can I discern God's will for life? It is a huge issue. Well, this text gives us that. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your ways. It's a promise. God wants to direct us. He will direct us. And I'm not going to be overly simplistic here, but I can only share, you know, the common wisdom, which you already know. Have faith. Don't give up. Now, in some settings, in some traditions, in some denominations, They depend heavily on the miraculous component. You know, the fleece, you turn the fleece one way and countering all nature, it's wet, and you turn it the other way, countering all nature, it's dry. So that the miraculous element, we do not rule out the miraculous, but to construct a way of guidance that requires you to receive a miracle every time you need it, I think is to go counter to what the Scripture teaches us. There is a way of waiting on God and faith in God. So, you know, the standard way of discerning God's will is to sincerely seek God's way in it and ask your heart, check your motives and check the Bible. And if it's clear there, check your circumstances. Check with friends, with trusted friends. Pray and move forward. And God is going to guide. In that regard, there is a huge comfort in the sovereignty of God. You know, in spite of our finiteness, God, in His sovereignty, is going to go with us. There's a promise no matter what we choose. He'll go with us. He'll help us. And so if you're a young person wondering which school to go to, what career to choose, or a single person wondering who will be the right marriage partner, these are the big decisions. You surrender them to God. You seek the best counsel. You keep walking with God, and He will direct your path. Well, there it is, folks. Four great reasons for developing the habit of choosing faith. It's always the best option. It's the way to spiritual growth and maturity. It brings out the best in us, and it helps us to discern God's guidance. That we'll have a few people standing around the auditorium as we hand out communion, and you can come for prayer, and we can pray about this or any item that you are needing God's direction for. God wants you to have faith. Faith is better. And Wayne is going to come and lead us in this exercise of faith in participating in communion. God bless you.